Even after a decades-long opioid overdose crisis, intense controversy still rages over the fundamental nature of addiction and the best way to treat it. In the new book, The Urge, Our History of Addiction, Carl Eric Fisher draws on his own experience as a clinician, researcher, and alcoholic in recovery as he traces the history of a phenomenon that centuries on, we hardly appear closer to understanding, let alone addressing effectively. As a psychiatrist in training, fresh from medical school, Fisher was soon face-to-face with his own addiction crisis, one that nearly cost him everything. Desperate to make sense of the condition that had plagued his family for generations, he turned to the history of addiction, learning that the current quagmire is only the latest iteration of a centuries-old story. Humans have struggled to define, treat, and control addictive behavior for most of our recorded history, including well before the advent of modern science and medicine. The new book is The Urge, Our History of Addiction. It is published by Penguin Press, and we welcome Carl Eric Fisher to the roundtable this morning. Carl, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
It is a great pleasure to have you. You are an assistant professor of clinical psychiatry at Columbia University. Give us a sense of what brought you to say, okay, it's finally time for me to look at this and talk about our history and, yes, even your history.
Yeah, well, the short answer is this is the investigation that I needed myself. It comes from a somewhat selfish place that once I was a bit more stable in my own recovery from addiction, I had the sense that the history and the philosophy and even the arts and the literature of addiction would be helpful in making sense of this question that was still alive in me, this question of what exactly had gone wrong in me. I was about a year into my recovery at that point, and I was feeling relatively stable, but I had the sense that there was more out there.
When you look at this, I was interested in the arts and literature part. What do you mean? Tell us a little bit about that, of even looking at that.
Yeah, I think we lose a lot if we narrow addiction to some sort of unconscious, sort of mechanical hijacking process, because the physical matters, of course, but there's also been this relationship between addiction and identity going back generations, and there's always been a sort of romantic use addiction or like drug use as a badge of revolt against society. And it goes back to the English romantics, say, for example, 1820s, 1830s, 1840s, who really celebrated patterns of really extreme drug use that was essentially addiction. And they had different ways of understanding and responding to it. The classic examples are Thomas De Quincey and Samuel Taylor Coleridge, who used totally mind-boggling amounts of opium at a time when they were first entering Western society in certain ways.
You talk about in the book about how your book ultimately looks at this idea, to what extent that story of addiction has reflected broader question of what it means to be human and care for one another. And this goes back a really long ways.
Yeah, one of the biggest surprises to me writing this book was that drug epidemics are nothing new, that we've been having them for 500 years. And those epidemics have always shaped the way we think about addiction and the way we respond to and try to deal with the problem of addiction. People often want a single, simple story. I want to boil it down to one neat and tidy cause. And the truth of the matter is these epidemics, they tend to occur at the intersection of multiple intersecting causes, that there's a powerful drug often, but also sometimes a powerful industry that's pushing that drug. And often there are deeper wounds and traumas in society. And that's true at the broader level in terms of the way societies understand and respond to drug epidemics. Is also true at the individual level when we try to grope after explanations for why we are the way we are.
Part four of the book is called Addiction on Trial, and the first chapter in that section is about rehabilitation. How does rehabilitation fit into this, and ultimately what we know and what we don't know about addiction?
Yeah, I have complicated thoughts on that because the rehab essentially saved my life. And also, I recognize that we have tremendous problems with our current treatment system. And our treatment system, in a way, is a function of the fact that around the time of that chapter you were referencing, the medical profession really wasn't doing its job. That the medical profession earlier in the 20th century had essentially abdicated its responsibility to care for people with addiction. And that's a main cause in the fragmentary and confusing and mystifying system that many people, I'm sure many of your listeners, have had trouble navigating the system and asking questions like, who should I trust? What is the right model of care? And where do I go? And how will I pay for it? And will insurance cover it? And we have problems in our general mental health care treatment if people are looking for help with, say, depression or bipolar disorder or all the rest. But it's worse. It's worse with addiction. And there's a historical legacy there that we really have to unpack if we're going to get to a better place with it.
So where are we now, and what does that better place look like?
So I think there's a lot that we could do that's actually quite simple that would save lives. There's a lot that researchers and policymakers have actually been saying for years and years and years. And some of those things are to expand care while also improving the quality of care, while ensuring that when people are in treatment, they get access to good care that respects the variety of different ways that people recover from serious substance use problems, from addiction. And there's a deeper question there, which is, why aren't we doing it if these things are simple? If we know that, for example, simple harm reduction measures like syringe service programs or like overdose prevention sites will save lives, then why aren't we doing it? And I think at bottom, that has to do with a change in consciousness. What we need is a change in the way we look at addiction and understand addiction and ultimately accept addiction, because it's not something that we stamp out. I don't think that we end addiction. I don't think it's reasonable to try to cure addiction, even though medicine has a lot to offer us. The ultimate answer here is acceptance and working with all the varieties that we face.
I want to ask you about the question, about the title of The Urge. Of what we know about that urge, you know, I had a nephew who died of a drug overdose. He was addicted to heroin. He went into a program. He was there for 3 years, did very successfully in the program. And then one day put a needle in his arm and died almost immediately. What is that urge? What do we know about that urge? Because that isn't an uncommon story, of course.
No. And first off, I'm so sorry for your loss. And as someone who has not just dealt with my own addiction, but also seen it in my family and tried to cope with it in my family, I know just how devastating that can be to try to help somebody who, a loved one who is struggling with addiction. And the reason I was drawn to that word, the urge, is because of its simplicity and because of the sort of universality of it that I found in translated versions, other accounts of that urge in the past. So in Ovid's Metamorphoses, there's a line about one of the characters' psychological struggle where they say, "A strange power attracts me against my will. Desire urges one thing and reason another." And, you know, that's a pretty good, for me, description of what it felt like to be in the throes of addiction. And I think it also points towards something universal about the human struggle to understand self-control and agency and choice and will. And so I write in the book that addiction is real. It's life-threatening. It's really powerful and dangerous. And simultaneously, somehow, it is directly connected and contiguous with all the rest of human suffering. And that part of the writing process was me trying to make sense of that apparent paradox.
So how do we get better at fighting the urge? And what does that take on all of our parts?
So like I was mentioning before, I think one main answer is acceptance. I think we do a lot of harm to ourselves and to others when we try to discipline and control what is ultimately a normal part of the human experience, even when that sort of normal part can go awry and cause tremendous damage and consequences. And at the societal level, through racist and oppressive crackdowns against what we deem the wrong kinds of drug use, to the individual level where a person is trying to do it all themselves. And this is what I did myself, is to try to make it an individual problem. And I just had to prove to myself and to others that I was okay. That kind of approach, I think, can cause a lot of damage. And so acceptance provides us a good route to a compassionate and hopeful and ultimately interconnected approach, where we come together and recognize the tremendous power to grow and to change and recover if we can find ways of doing it together.
I want to just, I know you fully answered that question, but I just want to linger on the word acceptance for a moment, of how important, because that implies that we're all in on this, right? Of course, the person who is addicted and those who are around that person, and as a community and as a public at large.
Yeah, absolutely. Acceptance is a complicated word. So, you know, one of the ways that I'm using it is to say that we should accept all of the different ways that we show up with our suffering. One of the biggest lessons for me in the history was how the divisions between us are just a story, and that the supposed brokenness or dividedness of the different varieties of addictive suffering has constantly been used as a way to kind of break people apart and foster division and polarization. Even within the recovery community, I think that we have a fair amount of stigma, and that people take shots at each other's varieties of recovery or the ways that people get help. But the reality is there are many pathways to recovery. Traditional 12-step programs are fantastic, and they help and save a lot of folks. And there are people who recover from severe substance use problems in different pathways to recovery. And I think we're only now turning the corner in medicine, in the broader culture, to recognize and to sort of welcome in those many varieties of the addictive experience.
The final chapter of the book is recovery. For you, recovery is different than recovered, right?
Recovery is different than recovered, yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because when you look at the early AA history, people had debates about this. But for me, recovery doesn't stop. Recovery doesn't end. The process of recovery is a process of continually facing for myself whatever suffering, whatever hang-ups I have. So even after dangerous drug use was no longer a life-threatening problem for me, and I felt like I was pretty secure and I wouldn't relapse today, I saw myself reaching after anger, for example. There's a way that anger can be a reflexive and impulsive addictive process. So I think that for me, and for a lot of people I know, the notion of recovery is an ongoing path where it doesn't resolve, you know, check it off your to-do list and you're done with it.
Right.
It's actually a really beautiful thing because it points toward the almost endless capacity to grow and to change.
And you calling it a beautiful thing, and also the compassion that you have in the book is really notable. It is really important book. It is The Urge, Our History of Addiction. It's published by Penguin Press. Carl Eric Fisher, I thank you very much for spending time with our audience this morning.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your kind words. It means a lot.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is The Urge, Our History of Addiction. It is published by Penguin Press. Carl Eric Fisher is the author. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.